it is a joy to sing, so let's stand and do just that. Welcome to Grandview Baptist Church. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. We've got three verses of this great song. Let's join our voices together as we sing. Ready?
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a forte.
As we make our way back, we have the first verse and chorus of Count Your Blessings. Let's stand and sing it out together. All voices singing. Ready?
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
We're a blessed people, amen. Great singing, you may be seated.
Well, God bless you. Welcome back again for the service tonight. We just said, count your blessings. Does anybody have a blessing they'd like to share tonight? Anybody? Brother John?
Back home in church.
And it's a little darker, but went to Mexico and had a great time there. Welcome back. Okay. Yeah, Brother John, go ahead. Amen. Amen. You know, we've been praying with John of course, you've prayed much longer than you have, for years, and we are so excited. Yeah, we're rejoicing with you, John. That's exciting. And Brother Tim Holman, you're here tonight. You can see. And you were, go ahead and share what you've been fighting with. Yeah, a little bit of an infection going on, huh? So. Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's pray for Brother Tim. And, of course, probably got to preach all day. Did you get through your message okay? All right. So, praise the Lord for that. Anybody else, real quick? Melissa. And then we'll go to you, Joel. Yeah.
Yesterday, at our little brother's service here, there were men in salvation. Over 300 views online.
Amen. God bless you, Melissa. And of course, Stephanie and Kevin. Let's pray. Continue to pray for all them, and as we will. Joel?
Yes, I'm praying
because I broke my wrist. Amen. Well, we're just going to praise the Lord. You didn't break both at once, right? So, all righty. Well, Brother Joel, we'll be praying for that to heal. And you'll have a constant state of keeping your hand up tonight, huh? So, all right. So, we have all kinds of jobs we're going to ask for volunteers for. But no, I'm teasing the joke. All right. Anybody else? One last one. Anybody else? I saw today at Summer Malucci's birthday, and Brother Jeremy said it's always on St. Patrick's Day. I guess that makes sense. So, anyways, we're celebrating summer today. All right. So, happy birthday. And what a blessing. All right, good. Well, anyways, what a great song. Thank you for sharing those. It's just neat to see what God's doing. And what a blessing. Just a reminder that the Best Years Club has a lunch this Friday on the Abundant Life class. It's $10. You can sign up over on the welcome desk. And if you're interested in the Alaska cruise, there'll be a meeting next week after the service and as well. And let's see here. Also, let's remember Baptism Sunday coming up and Easter. Of course, many of you grabbed flyers on your way out. Thank you for doing that. Let's continue to get these out. What a blessing that will be. We're praying for a great, great Easter. And thank you for all those involved in the choir and orchestra and the media and the sound and all that as you have to put so many extra hours in to prepare. And thank you for doing that. What a blessing that was. Of course, we've been raising some money for some new ovens for the church, and it was a praise. Someone last week said, I will match every dollar that's brought in for that. And so we're already halfway there. So let's pray for that. And thank you for those who are a part of that. Also, Brother TJ wanted to mention, today is the last day or last couple days to sign up for the missions trip. And so if you are interested in that, please see Brother TJ or go in the back there and sign up. That would be a wonderful thing. It's going to be a wonderful trip, trip of a lifetime to Thailand, and be run very well by Brother Mark Bushy. Of course, he oversees a mission board that many of our missionaries come from, and God has used him in Thailand for many years, and now here in the States. So this will be a wonderful trip to go on, and what a blessing that will be. Next week will be Level Up, so I want to encourage you to be a part of that. If you'd like, on the back of these handouts that came out are all the different sessions to choose from. Okay, tonight our ministry spotlight is the nursery ministry. Aren't you glad for the nursery ministry? And until you don't have a nursery, you're very glad, okay? And we're thankful for the nursery. And Luke chapter 18, verse 15 says, "And they brought him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." And we're thankful for the nursery and those little lives and what they represent. And the one who coordinates the nursery is my wife. So Alicia, why don't you come up here and share a little bit about the nursery. And we appreciate all the effort she puts in. And thank you all those. Well, we'll say that in just a second. All right.
Yes, as he mentioned before, the nursery is a very big part of our services here. And without the nursery, it wouldn't be quiet in here. You would have maybe talking, maybe toys rattling. So the nursery is very important. We have five different services, and each throughout a week's time, and each service time, we have a nursery available for parents to utilize. And so with that, we have about 25 workers between workers and supervisors that we need to staff those service times every single week. So through a month's time, that's almost 100 workers. And then if we have a fifth Sunday, that's even more. So it's a very growing and needy ministry, always needing workers. But one praise I want to give is that over the last year, I believe we've been able to double our worker roster. And so I want to commend you for ladies for volunteering and giving of yourself to our young families and to serving in this capacity. And then also, if anyone ever wants to donate snacks or baby wipes or anything along those lines, we will not turn those away. And then probably our biggest prayer for this ministry is we are in a constant need of workers, because it's an ever-growing ministry, so constantly we're having new families arrive with young children or new babies being born, and so we are always in need of workers. So if you think maybe this might be an area that you can help serve in, come and talk to me.
Alicia, and I appreciate that. We were thinking through just our class the other day, and as of a couple weeks ago, there was six ladies who we're expecting. And so we're thankful for those in our church. And of course, to have a multi-generational church means you're going to have children and have nursery and have babies. And thank you for all those who help. If you do serve in the nursery on a regular basis, if you could stand to your feet, we want to recognize you. Amen. Look at all these ladies. And thank you, ladies, so much. And we can't say thank you enough. And I know you minister, but I just want to say what a blessing that is. And you are to this ministry and this church, and appreciate your faithfulness. And I know it may not be as easy as it used to be, but I promise you, it is a huge blessing to our church. And it helps young families hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what a blessing that is. Men, if you'll get ready for the offering tonight, thank you for being faithful in your giving. We'll just read 2 Chronicles 31:5. "And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly." And we see the children of Israel giving us a wonderful example of what happens at church. People give back to God who's given to us. And thank you for your faithfulness in giving. And your gift allows the gospel to continue to be shed spread all throughout the area and around the world. And Brother Vessel, if you'll come and pray for the offering tonight.
And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be here tonight. We are thankful for your abundance of blessings, and just hearing a few at the start of our service is so wonderful and refreshing to hear. We could go on and on of your goodness to us, your bountiful blessings. We're so grateful to you. We give you the praise for it. We're thankful, Lord, that as we receive from you, we can then give back and be a blessing to others through the avenue of ministries through this church. And we're so thankful that on a very consistent basis, so many do. Lord, you take that and somehow, we haven't quite figured it out yet, but you just multiply it and you've always more than met the needs, and we're thankful. I pray you'd help us to continue to give back to you. Thank you for these who do and those who invest in eternity. So many have given of their time and talents to you and continue to do so, and we're grateful for that. May we always have a heart of giving. We know that to be your greatest attribute, giving your Son for us and giving us daily blessings. Please bless in this service, and we will thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for that duet. What a blessing that was. All Little Bear Bible Club is dismissed at this time. All those who help out and serve, as they continue to practice for the choir and for the performance there on Easter, and learn a lesson from God's Word. What a blessing that will be. 1 Samuel chapter 2, and I know you're thinking, wait, we already went through that chapter. And I know, we're just going to start off there. And we'll kind of go several different places tonight, but 1 Samuel chapter 2 tonight, and we'll just read the first two verses, And once you have found it, if you don't mind standing one more time, give you one last chance to stretch. And we'll just read the first two verses tonight, and then we'll be in many more scriptures as we continue on. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God." Lord, we sure do love you. Thank you again for loving us. You certainly are a great God. Lord, I pray you'll be with us time tonight. Thank you for the sweet testimonies we heard and prayers that have been answered. And Lord, how you're working amongst us. And Lord, so many have accepted Christ, Lord, some in difficult situations, and others who we've been praying for a long time. And Lord, others who were just here on this morning and heard the gospel and responded. Thank you for doing that for us, Lord. We know it's for you, and it gives you glory, and all heaven is rejoicing. But we're just pleased, Lord, and thankful that you would use us to do that. Please continue to bless this church, take care of its needs. Please continue to bless these dear people and their individual needs, Lord, financially, Lord, spiritually, Lord, relationally, Lord, whatever the case may be. And give us, reward us tonight for being in your place on such a beautiful evening. And Lord, it's been a great day, but we also want to hear from you one more time today. And I pray you'll do that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A very nervous airline passenger began pacing the terminal when bad weather delayed his flight. And during his walk, he came across a life insurance machine and offered $100,000 in the event of an untimely death aboard his flight. The policy was just $3, and the man looked at that policy and said, "What is $3 and the fact that my family could be more cared for?" And so he took out the coverage. He then looked for a place to eat and couldn't really find a place. And finally, he found a Chinese restaurant and sat down and ate. And at the end, he opened up his fortune cookie and it read, "Your recent investment will pay big dividends." And, you know, tonight maybe you feel like you're in that spot in your life, and perhaps maybe you are nervous, or maybe you're carrying something, or you're going through something, as I know many in our church is. I came across this passage, of course, as we were preaching through it, and this phrase here in verse number 2, "Neither is there any rock like our God." And as I saw that phrase, of course, commentators were kind of really going to town on that phrase. And I started thinking, if I preach a whole message on that, we'll only get through one phrase this Sunday. So I kind of took that thought and put it aside, and then I kind of revisited it this week, and just want to bring a message tonight on the everlasting rock. The everlasting rock. And the word rock here is the Greek word T-S-U-R, teshur. And it gives the metaphor of God as a rock, and it alludes to something that's immovable, a jutting rocky cliff where one could seek shelter and refuge. And really, this rock here is a shelter, a place of refuge that you can run to. It's a strong, stable, and steadfast, like our God is. And I couldn't help but, as I was putting this message together, the carnal side came out of me a little bit. And I remember back when I was in the 90s growing up, and I remember the Chevy commercial. How many know where I'm going with this? Okay. And like a rock, as strong as I could be, like a rock, nothing ever got to me. And I couldn't help but think, that is why I always wanted a Chevy. But I ended up with a Ram. But anyways, okay. As strong as I could be. Bob Seger actually wrote that song, and it became famous in Chevy truck commercials. In fact, it is one of the signature tracks for his catalog, and it's something that has been used all over the place and really has kind of been interwoven into America and maybe even played at rodeos and what forth. But I looked at the meaning behind the song, and he wrote it himself, and it was written at the end of a relationship that had lasted 10 years. actually 11 years. He told the New York Times in an archived interview in 1986, "You wonder where time went." And he kind of gave the feeling that the best years of his life were the teen years, where there was no special commitments and no career. And he said, "It's your last blast of fun before heading into," and I quote, "a cruel world." He said, basically, life was great until I got out of high school. And then the world became cruel to me. It's interesting today as we think about that. What the world thinks as a cruel world, it really is. Life isn't fair and it's difficult and it's frustrating. And you wonder sometimes, what are you doing, God, and what's going on? And though we can't answer that question necessarily, we do know that we have the rock to hold on to. Erwin Lutzer says, "Until we have learned to be satisfied with fellowship with God, until He is our rock and our fortress, we will be restless with our place in the world." And he says this, "As our rock, He stabilizes us. And as our fortress, He defends us." In fact, Moses, we see in the Song of Moses, God is extolled as rock in Deuteronomy 32 and verse number 4. "He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, and just and right is He." And that is our God. His work is perfect and His ways are judgment. And He is a God of truth without iniquity. He's just and He's right, and He's someone who can be depended on. But as I did a study on the word rock and how God is called that in the Bible, I came across several things. And so I'll give you a few of these tonight. Number one, if you are writing, we see the rock that is higher than I. The rock that is higher than I. In Psalm 61 verse 2, the psalmist tells us, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." God is our rock, provides a firm and unshakable foundation. As we sang the song not too long ago, "On Christ the solid rock I stand." In fact, I think we even sang it this morning. "All other ground is sinking sand." The word sewer in this particular place, of course, the word rock, it meant to seek shelter, but it also means, when it comes to the rock that's in Psalm 61:2, a secure, elevated location. So not only is it a place of shelter, but it's a place that's over and above the adversaries. The adversaries cannot get you there. In fact, it's talking about inaccessibility by one's adversaries. You're on top of that rock, and no matter how hard the adversaries try, they can't get up it. There's just no way around. It's a fortress. There's no way up it. And when we are in God's hands and we are in His protection, we are out of reach from the adversaries. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of our Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." Psalms 27, verse number 5, "From the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. He shall set me upon a rock." And as one person said, though everything might be changing, yet the Lord is still our rock. He's stable. He's strong. And we know that He is eternally where we need to be in a spiritual world. So you can rest in the rock of your salvation. In fact, Jesus' His words in a parable on the Sermon on the Mount, He calls us to build our house upon the rock. Of course, not on the sinking sand of the world. Only a life built on the solid rock will endure throughout eternity. So we see the rock, of course, that is higher than I. But second of all, we see the rock of my refuge. The rock of my refuge. In Psalms 94, verse 22, "But the Lord is my defense, and God is the rock of my refuge." Aren't you thankful today that we can flee to the refuge of God? We see the rock is also our salvation, the rock of our salvation. We see the rock of my refuge. We see the rock that is higher than I. We see the rock of our salvation in Psalms 95, verse 1. "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Now, we understand salvation, of course, in Jesus Christ, but this is another term. Of course, He's our Savior, and He's the one who can take care of us, and He's the one who's there for us all the time. But also, the Bible says He is the rock of Israel. He is the rock of Israel. In 2 Samuel 23 and verse 3, the God of Israel said, "The rock of Israel spake to me. He ruleth over men, must be just, ruling in the fear of God." And David loves to call God his rock. And God is a rock, speaks of His provision, of a firm, of an unshakable foundation for all who trust in Him. We see another meaning of the word sure, of course, is not just to seek shelter or secure elevated location or inaccessibility of one's adversaries, but there's another Greek word, it's phulax, which simply means a guard or sentinel. And God is also a God that is our guard. And He is a sentinel, if you will. He is always watching, always ready. Our children oftentimes want me to pray with them before they go to bed and pray that none of the bad guys come and that they'll be safe. And I always do it. And it's almost as if when you're worried or you're wondering, God is also that rock of a sentinel. He's that guard, if you will, that nothing's going to get through Him. He, of course, is protecting His children. Fanny Crosby says it well in the song, "He Hideth My Soul." A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He taketh my burden away. He giveth me strength as my day. He's a cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His loves and covers me there with His hand. We see not only is God the rock, of course, of my refuge, the rock that is higher than I, the rock of my salvation, the rock of Israel, but He's also the rock of thy strength. The Bible says in Isaiah 17:10, "Because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation, and hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength, therefore shalt thou plant pleasant plants, and shalt set it with strange slips." In fact, what Isaiah was saying here is, you have that opportunity to have the rock of strength, but you have disregarded the strength of God, and you have decided instead to do your own strength and lean on your own trust. And He calls him to decide, who do you want? Do you want the strength of God or do you want the strength of yourself? And I don't know how many times I've tried to do something in the strength of Justin Lehman and how many times I faltered and failed. But when I seem to do it in the strength of God, what a difference it makes. The driver says that the verse details, they had forsaken the one, therefore by a just retribution the others should be forsaken. And so we see the rock of thy strength. And then the Bible gives us the rock of His salvation in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 15. It's a sad verse. The Bible says, "But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxed and fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of His salvation." You see, you can cling to the rock of your salvation and you can love it and want it and make it a part of you and be underneath it and run to it and run over it and be there and grow close. Or you can be like Jeshua and wax fat and think, you know what, I got this. I'm going to lightly esteem the rock of my salvation. Driver says the verse details Israel's ingratitude, defection, and rebellion, which is a simple result of God's abundance. And isn't that what has happened in our great country? We have an over and abundance, but yet there is more ingratitude than ever. You can watch videos and see things on social media of people who are so entitled and who are so ingratifying, and it is such a disgust, has to be to God. And how oftentimes we can be lightly esteemed of the rock of our salvation, or it can become a big part of us. And then we see a rock of offense. Not only was it a rock of our strength, of our salvation, of course, higher than I, the rock of our refuge, but it is also, God can be a rock of offense. Look at verse number, Romans chapter 9, verse 33. And I'm not talking about offense here like an offense in a basketball game or football game. I'm talking about an offense. a rock that offended people. As it is written, "Behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whomsoever believeth on me shall not be ashamed." The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, in 1 Peter is alluded to the stumbling stone. In 1 Peter 2, verse 4, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also, it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believes on Him should not be confounded." Aren't you thankful today that Jesus Christ wants to be the chief cornerstone in our life, in our church? But yet, Jesus Christ became a stumbling block. Why? Because He did not meet the Jewish expectations. He did not defeat the Roman army. He did not set up His own earthly kingdom then. It was going to be His second coming. So they rejected Him instead of responding by faith. Of course, the psalmist replies in Psalms 118:22, "The stone which the builders refused, it became the head of the corner." So really we see two different types of people, though, those who lightly esteem or even reject the rock. And then there's those who run to the rock. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14, "And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling." He wants to be a sanctuary to everyone, but yet he can be a stone that people stumble on and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for again, and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. "And many among them shall stumble, shall be broken, shall fall and be ensnared and be taken." We see the Pharisees, of course, and the Sadducees, and many of the Jews are stumbling over God and His goodness. But yet others would believe on Him and find no reason for shame or offense or disappointment. In Isaiah 28, verse 16, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion a foundation of stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." I think of Hannah, of course, as she gladly made God her rock. I think of Moses, who gladly made God his rock. I think of Joshua, who said, "Me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I think of David, who was a man after God's own heart. I think of the disciples who gladly followed Christ. I think of Darius, who was so thankful. Who's so thankful that Jesus healed his daughter. I think of the Samaritan woman who wanted to make God her rock. And though not early in life, Saul, eventually the Apostle Paul put God as his rock. And my question to you is simply this. What about you tonight? Is God truly your rock? Or is what you have heard tonight simply a comforting thought that will only stick with you for a few hours or days? But is God your rock? You say, well, of course He is. Well, you can lightly esteem that rock and you can thank God it's there, but never take advantage of it. Or you can say, I don't want to be stumbled or offended by it. I truly want to embrace the rock of God. But what was interesting, I saw that there's one other rock tonight, and that is Paul writes that Christ is our rock. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them." And that rock was Christ. What I see tonight is not only the God of the Old Testament our rock, but I also see that Jesus Christ in the New Testament is also our rock. He's a rock for you and me today. And of course, Paul is referring to a time in the Old Testament where God told Moses to speak to the rock. Look at Exodus 17, verse 6. "Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. This rock in Horeb was really a type of Christ. The Apostle Paul calls it that spiritual rock. And from that spiritual rock, we see some deep spiritual lessons. We see, first of all, that rock was in a dry and barren place. The word Horeb means dry or empty. It was in the wilderness. It was in a barren place. It was seemingly in a hopeless place. And Christ, of course, we know He was in the world, but the world knew Him not. Isaiah 53, verse 2, "For He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we desire of Him." Jesus wasn't necessarily that attractive person that came. He came to a dry and a barren place. Nathanael even said unto Him, "Can there be anything good come out of Nazareth?" We're thankful today that that rock, Jesus Christ, who came to us, was in a dry and barren place. He was willing to come to a dry and barren place. But second of all, we see that rock was a native of the desert. May I say today, He didn't have apparently any outstanding characteristics. He was like so many of His fellow men. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Even those last week in Capernaum won't even accept Him. And in Romans 8, verse 3, He is compared to be the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin condemns sin in the flesh. He simply came to become amongst us and to take the sin of mankind. He was a native. He became a native of the desert for you and me. But that rock, Jesus Christ, was chosen by God. As God told Moses, "That rock of Horeb that I will show you." Jesus Christ was smitten and appointed by God. He was chosen of God. In Matthew 3, verse 17, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" Jesus Christ, that rock, was also God possessed. In Exodus 17, verse 6, God says, "Behold, I stand upon the rock. Here lay the secret of its riches and ability to supply the wants of the thirsty Israelites." Of course, they were going to get water from that rock, from God. But we know that as the Samaritan woman found out that Jesus, the water is an everlasting thirst quencher. And John 5:17, "My Father worketh hitherto and I work." We see that rock was full of unseen blessing. Can any good come out of a rock? Here in a few months, hopefully we'll be able to move some rocks out here. Can anything good come out of those rocks? I don't know. I guess if you grind them up enough, maybe. You add some water and some cement mix, maybe you can make some cement, or maybe you can have some nice decorative stuff. But this rock, something great came out. This rock was full of unseen blessing. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, full of grace and truth. John 7, verse 37, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And aren't you thankful today that that rock, Jesus Christ, was full of unseen blessing? But that rock was also smitten. And we see that God told Moses to smite the rock. In Zechariah 13, 7, it was prophesied, "Saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered." We know that Jesus Christ was smitten by the cat of nine tails. And that rod of judgment fell on Christ. And He was not just smitten for Himself. He was smitten for the salvation of all the people, the sinful and discontented. He suffered for us, the just for the unjust. But not only was this rock full of unseen blessing, not only was this rock smitten, but this rock gave out of its treasures after it was smitten. After this rock was smitten, the treasures came out, and even the smiter could drink of its mercy. The smiting of Jesus with the reed, and as He was on the cross, and as that spear had been thrust through, and as He said, "Father, forgive them." Even the Roman centurions and the Roman guards who had beat Him and had mocked Him and had put, of course, the gall inside of His mouth, Jesus died for them as well. Just as Jesus died for you and me. Luke 23, verse 34, "Then said Jesus, 'Father, forgive them.'" His death was the death of our sins and the life of our souls. I think what's the most exciting thing about this whole thing is God is our rock, but Jesus Christ is our rock. Is that rock followed them? Say, "Pastor Justin, what do you mean?" Well, as Paul says, they drank of that spiritual rock which followed them. MacArthur has this interesting thought. He said the Jews had a popular legend, still known and believed by many in Paul's day, that the actual rock that Moses struck followed Israel throughout her wilderness travels, providing water wherever they went. I believe the apostle may have been alluding to this legend, saying, yes, a rock did follow Israel. Now, we know a physical rock did not roll along behind them. But we know a spiritual rock, the Messiah, was with them. Paul explains that the spiritual rock was Christ. And I come to you today to say that that spiritual rock, the presence of Jesus Christ, who was with them in the wilderness thousands of years before, is that same spiritual rock that is with you and me every single day of the week, every single hour. Don't you realize this morning that not only do we have to run to the rock, but Jesus Christ is following us. He's right there. He's right there beside us, spending time with us. God, who supernaturally provided for them water in the wilderness, is providing for you and I today. They shall thirst no more, John 4, verse 14, but whosoever drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him as a water springing up into everlasting life. Of course, you and I know the verse in Matthew 28:20. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You realize this morning, dear Christian who's heavy-hearted, maybe, dear Christian who's sad, or maybe who is struggling, or maybe trying to get underneath that cleft, or maybe trying to get on top of that rock, or maybe doing all you can. Don't forget that Jesus said, lo, I am with you always. That rock, that everlasting rock, is with you and I right now. We can lightly esteem it. We can reject it. Or we can gladly receive it and enjoy the blessings of the rock of our God. No wonder the man could write, Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of the sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, while other ground is sinking sand. We know God and Jesus, of course, are one. But it's neat to see the God of the Old Testament and all the different rocks that we can lean on. It's the same God in the New Testament, Jesus Christ, that's following you and me today. It can be offensive to us. We can lightly esteem it in our life and how things are going, or we can desperately cling to it and drink of it deeply. And we can enjoy the comfort on a daily basis that the rock brings you and I today. It's your choice, my dear friend. It's my choice. But may we decide that Jesus Christ is enough. And He truly satisfies. He wants to guide and protect. He wants to follow us. He loves you and me. Oftentimes, I watched a couple weeks ago a childhood favorite of my own, Lassie, Come Home. We were watching that and how the dad had to sell Lassie, and the man, of course, didn't treat him right in the kennels, and he kept getting out and coming back, and finally the little boy, the owner says, I want your boy to come. And I want your boy, the dad said, son, you're going to tell Lassie not to come home again. Lassie! Don't come! You know, that heart-wrenching, oh no. Lassie, stay here! Of course, Lassie got way out somewhere and made it all those miles back. Lassie, come home. You can tell Jesus no. You can reject Him. You can say, no, not in the workplace, not today. But Jesus, like Lassie, He wants to be with you. He wants to follow you. You can reject Jesus, or you can embrace Him and enjoy Him. Say, no, not right now. I don't want to kind of be me. Or you can say, you know what, Jesus, come on. I love you. I'm proud of you. I want to bring you glory. I want to enjoy what you have to offer. May I encourage you today to rest in the presence of God and enjoy what He gives to you and me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Dear Christian, if you're struggling today, I want to encourage you that God is your refuge. God is higher than you. He's the God of your salvation. He's the God of your strength. He's the rock of Israel. My friend, He wants to be your rock. May I encourage you to accept Him if you have not today. Maybe there's someone today that would say, Pastor Justin, that's me. I want to accept Jesus Christ in my life. I want to know for sure I'm going to heaven. Pastor Justin, will you pray for me with every head bowed, every eye closed? Maybe there's someone that say, Pastor Justin, that's me. I need Jesus in my life. If that's you, will you slip your hand real quick? I want to pray for you. Say, Pastor Justin, I know for sure that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. But sometimes He's been a stumbling stone for me, a rock of offense. Sometimes I have been like the Israelites where I have a good life and I kind of just didn't mind Him like I should. I haven't really ran to Him like I should. And I realized, like Lassie followed that little boy home, Jesus Christ is right there beside us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. We can tell Him no. We can try to push Him away. But He loves you and I so much. May we instead run to Him, cling to Him, enjoy His safety, enjoy His strength, enjoy His power, enjoy His protection, enjoy His refuge. He, like a sentinel, standing beside us. The sea ebbs and flows, but the rock remains unmoved. May we cling to God. And may we allow Him to quench our thirst on a daily basis. Lord, thank You so much for this thought today. And Lord, we're thankful how great You are. Well, I know I gave a lot of Scripture. Lord, we kind of went on a journey. But I wanted these dear people to know that You're a great God and You want to be our rock. Lord, those sometimes people who kind of get used to You, sometimes the good things of life, we really don't cling to You like we should. Or sometimes, Lord, Your name can bring offense to us and we may not be as bold as we should be. But Lord, You're God, but You're also Jesus Christ is our rock. We saw some pictures today of what perhaps Paul was alluding to. And we see that You follow us all along our journey. We can say no, don't want You here. But You'll still be there. You'll never leave us or forsake us. May we run to You. May we hold You tight. May You comfort these dear people. May You help them. Those who are struggling, Lord, with grief or struggling with burdens or struggling with cares, Lord, I pray that they'll run to You. Lord, we try as humans the best we can, but ultimately You give the peace that passes all understanding. I pray You help us tonight. Or in this time of invitation, may we do what You'd want us to do tonight. May we respond as You would have us to, as You've touched our heart in Jesus' name. Amen. If you can stand to your feet tonight, the piano's going to play and the altar's open. If God has spoken to your heart tonight, I want to encourage you to run to God. I want to encourage you to embrace His presence. I encourage you to remind you that Jesus Christ is right there beside you. I encourage you to soak up His goodness. Be like a sponge and just soak it up. He has so much water to give, so much comfort and peace to give. May we not lightly esteem Him. May we instead run to Him and cling to Him. May we allow Him to follow us and give of Himself to us tonight. And God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for being faithful tonight. Appreciate it. We have one last video to show you for today, a few upcoming events, and then we'll be on our way tonight.
Exciting plans are starting for the Easter dramatic musical Only Jesus on Friday, March 29th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, March 31st at 11 a.m. There will also be an egg hunt on property for all children and teens up through 12th grade. If you could help us by bringing individually wrapped candy, there is a bin on the welcome desk. Easter is a wonderful time to invite your friends, family, and coworkers to join us for our services. So mark your calendars as we celebrate the resurrection of our Savior.
The Best Years Club will have a taco salad bar on Friday, March 22nd at noon. Enjoy fellowship with like-minded Christians and a great meal together. It will be in the Abundant Life Room, and the cost is $10 per person.
Join us next Sunday night at 5 p.m. for our Level Up teaching and training modules. Come and choose two of the modules on various topics from the lineup. Don't miss this special time of training with something for every Christian.
Baptism Sunday is April 7th. If you've not followed the Lord in baptism and would like to be baptized on this day, please sign up at the welcome desk. Invite cards are available as well. If this is your first or second time here, we want to answer your questions and get to know you. Please fill out the Connect card in the pew in front of you and bring it to guest services as you exit the auditorium. We would love to meet you and you will receive a gift card. Have a great week and we will see you Wednesday night at 7 p.m.
Okay, God bless you, and please know God loves you, and this pastor loves you. Enjoy the sunshine. You are dismissed.